It's here and now. How do you write the soundtrack for a dragon? Oscar-winning composer Howard Shore knows. He's written dozens of scores for directors Jonathan Demme, Martin Scorsese, and David Cronenberg. But he's best known for his work with Peter Jackson on the Lord of the Rings films. Shore works his most recent musical magic on The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Smaug being the dragon who bedevils the hobbit Bilbo and a band of dwarves in the movie, which opens today. Howard Shore joins us now from New York. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
I've got to first ask you, when writing the soundtrack for a dragon, what's the first step?
Well, this is a very special dragon, and he's a very powerful creature. He's very sly, very cunning, sinister. And he creates this sort of sickness in people. You know, he creates what we call dragon sickness. Mm. And it's almost a feeling, it's a physical feeling that you get when you're around him.
Right. What do you do to translate that into the music?
Oh, I wish I knew. I love Tolkien's work, and Peter's films, the imagery in the films is also a great source of inspiration. So, you know, I've got the great story of Tolkien and the imagery, and I set to work. I mean, Smaug is a character that I felt came pretty easily.
At what point in the film's production are you starting to sort of tinker with character themes and music from major scenes? I mean, do you start that before they even start filming?
The compositional process really starts quite early. This is a rather large piece. It's a large canvas, and there's over 100 themes and leitmotifs in the piece. So I must say, when I started, quite like Tolkien, I believe, that you kind of put one foot in front of the other and you kind of, you know, found your way through Middle-earth step by step. Each day is just another step forward, more pages of music being written, more score being written. I write my scores in pencil, so it's a very handwritten piece, you know, each day. I write a lot of music away from the film, you know, just to the story. I know in this Hobbit film, the second Hobbit film, I wrote about 35 minutes of themes and motifs quite away from the film, you know, over a period of months. And then once I start working with the film, then I'm applying the composition. I'm what I call really the scoring part of it, where I'm taking my thematic ideas, the leitmotifs, and applying them to the film and scoring it.
Hmm. Lovers of the movies will absolutely know that they hear certain musical motifs from film to film, and even from the Lord of the Rings trilogy now into the Hobbit movies. So I want to talk to you about one of those motifs that's very familiar to fans, and that it also appears in this latest part two of the Hobbit series. So let's listen to a little of that first. So That, of course, is music that's associated with the Ring of Power. It's one of the central motifs of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But we hear it in the Hobbit films.
The piece you just heard is called The History of the Ring, and it's how the ring has changed the world of Middle-earth and how it's moved from one person to another. And it's a historical, and you know, it's evoking an ancient world 5,000-6,000 years ago. And so there's going to be a connection because of Bilbo. Mm. And Bilbo's discovery of the ring happens in The Hobbit. And, of course, that's really the starting point and what affects the whole world of The Lord of the Rings.
I heard you say that you've created or written, you know, more than 100 motifs and different pieces of music for these films. That's a lot.
Well, I did it for clarity of storytelling. I mean, it's a very complex story, Lord of the Rings. By using the motifs, it was a way to give clarity to objects, places, cultures, to moments in the story. And it was a way to express differences in the culture. I mean, part of what Tolkien does so brilliantly is he shows you differences between the elven world of Rivendell and Lothlorien. Now in The Hobbit, the woodland realm. He shows you the world of men in different and varying cultures. So the themes and motifs show you different worlds and how they're created and used by Tolkien and how they're created to show you the world of Middle-earth. He shows you the points of the compass, north, south, east, and west.
Howard Shore, I'm wondering what it's like to work with Peter Jackson, because I've heard in the past some directors say that the soundtrack, the score of a movie, is so important that they do treat it like an additional character.
Yes, I work with David Cronenberg, and he thinks of me as a character actor in his film, even though I'm composing music for it. So I'm adding another voice, another character into the film. The work with Peter was really a way to take you on this long journey. I mean, these films are quite lengthy, and we knew that we were in a long journey. And it was a way to, as I said, you know, create clarity and intimacy to the characters and to also bring real clarity to the storytelling.
Now, the third and final Hobbit film will be released next year. It's going to be the end of a long journey for you. Are you going to be sad to leave behind the world of Middle-earth?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see till next year. I know when I was finishing Return of the King, I had written so much music at that point, and I was so deeply involved in it that they had to kind of drag me away from it and say, okay, that's enough. Put your pencil down now. But now, having picked up the pen again, and there is one more part to the story. But, of course, you know, we have to finish.
Well, Howard Shore is an Oscar-winning composer. His latest film score is for The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Howard Shore, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks. It's been fun talking to you.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with Amy Silman, a 25-year retrospective of the artist's vivid abstract paintings and intimate drawings, ICABoston.org.